Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show. Welcome, welcome, hello, it's the One Show Show, the podcast that, in the words of House of Pain, jumps around a week's worth of TV's The One Show, and to paraphrase the gentleman from House of Pain, we're coming to get you, spitting out analysis of the nation's favourite flagship magazine programme, Homie We'll Wet Ya. What? I am John Holmes, and we're here again as your guide to a programme you never watch, rummaging through it like a tramp going into a bin to see if we can feast on anything inside. I can tell you this, there's almost too much this week, because a man hides a horse, a woman makes a sandwich over four consecutive nights, and a one-show sofa guest wipes their own shit on a light switch. Joining me to push the one show over in the playground this week are, of course, regular, the One Show Show regular, Mark Haynes, and from TV's The MASH Report, it's the bloke that sits behind a desk that isn't Neesh Kumar, it's Stephen Allen, hello.
Hello.
Welcome along. Welcome.
And you've got a desk in for me today as well.
I think the problem is, without you being behind a desk, I wouldn't recognise you. That's what I have to do.
Good.
Now I'm getting MASH Report.
Yeah, up there, MASH Report, down there, for partying. I got the phrase wrong.
So do you watch The One Show? Have you seen The One Show before we made you do this?
Yeah, well, I used to watch it, so not the X, but the X before the X. Wow. She used to watch it all the time. So I thought I was an expert in this. I thought, this is the show for me to come on. This is the analysis podcast for Steve. I remember the old days, you know, the Adrian Charles days.
Giles and Bleakley days.
I even remember the Jason Manford, we don't talk about that anymore days.
Oh, yeah.
That ended badly. The Chris Evans on Friday days.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought, I can do this. And I watched it this week and realised it's changed or I have. It was painful. Man alive. So, yeah, I watched it for the first time in years. I binged it all in one sitting.
But you did hit what I consider to be, and I don't know about you, Mark, because obviously we do watch it all the time now for this. I thought it was quite the vintage week. Monday was a classic one show.
I thought it was a knockout week. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, when you did that little what's coming up list of three, I only saw one of those and I still thought it was a vintage week because I've seen some other shit that you would not believe. So I think we're going to be spoiled for choice today.
I think that's what Rutger Hauer said in Blade Runner. I think you based that whole speech about ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion
Alex Jones.
Watching the one show.
Alex Jones is a replicant. We know that. She was created solely to helm this sort of television show.
She's the only one that could do it. Should we start with Monday? Did you Monday?
I did Tuesday and I did The Hour on Wednesday like a big brave boy.
Oh my God.
It was vintage stuff.
I know what. All right, well, I know you did Monday, Steve.
Yeah, I did them all.
Let's, you know.
Did you? He did, he you did them all did
one evening.
Every single one.
Oh my
god. How are you still alive?
It genuinely hurt. And there's a bit in my notes where I can see it changes from blue pen to black pen because I had to have a break. But I came back with a different pen.
Just writing in your own blood.
Yeah.
Where you've just tried to open a vein to end it all. Monday, you missed a treat, Mark. I'll tell you, Monday was the whole opening sequence was it had everything from the one show for us, didn't it? So it was Paddy McGuinness.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, but even before you get there, it opens so strongly with Broccoli Weetabix. Oh, do you remember that bit?
Yeah, they're not a band, Mark. What? It was April Fool's Day. It was an April Fool's special. So,
it was, and they open with, "So what have you ever fallen for?" And they speak straight away to a woman who didn't fall for a prank.
Come on, Karen.
Go on.
I was early morning, half asleep, scrolling through Facebook, and I saw an advert for Broccoli Weetabix. And for a split second, I thought, ew. And then, I didn't kind of realised, nearly.
Karen, come on.
It was really close.
Good.
So I saw something on Facebook about Broccoli Weetabix, and for a minute I thought, And then there's the bit where Alex says, oh, you didn't... I can't do the accent slave. You didn't fall for that. And then there's a bit where she just straight away goes into a Me Too moment. They're halfway through a conversation, and Alex just touches her and then goes, oh, sorry, touched you.
I know. It was really weird. So what April Fool's joke did you fall for? Broccoli Weetabix.
Broccoli Weetabix.
And didn't fall for it. So, again, the research wasn't done so well because what you want to be doing is finding someone who fell for a joke. No. Then Alex did this weird thing and just then stroked her. And then just went, oh, I'm really sorry, I touched your hair.
Well, have your rainbow hair, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, I touched it.
No,
sorry.
That's fine.
If you're from Wales, maybe the name Broccoli Weetabix sounds like one of those Hollywood producers you hear so much about. Didn't he do James Bond?
I read it that she was trying to make up for an implication that this woman looks like she might not know much about broccoli. That there was that kind of... She had the... How do you say it in a nice way? The form of someone who might not be vegetable frequented. And then Alex just strokes and goes, oh, sorry, I was touching you to try and make you feel better. So that happened. That was a great opener.
But then they topped even that. Because they then... Matt then turned to a bloke next to him who was of a type, and he said, so what did you do for your April Fool thing? And he said, I hid a horse.
Let's say hello to you. Say, what's your name?
Jesse.
You're Jesse. Come on, then, what's your April Fool story?
I hid a horse.
What?
I hid a horse.
You hid a horse? Where on earth did you hide a horse?
I hid a horse.
That was hitting Matt where he lives, though. His face dropped.
Matt,
you fucking arsehole.
Basically, that's what he did. He was livid. So the bloke went, I hid a horse. Now, you're already going, what? And the bloke said, yeah, what I did was, I led a horse out of a stable.
Yeah.
Hid it round, took it round the back and tied it up and left all the gates open to make the owner think it had run off and escaped. And Matt genuinely went, that's not that funny, is it?
So I took it out of the stable and tied it up round the back and left all the gates open so they thought it went round the field.
That's actually not that funny, is it?
In the opening of a programme based on April Fool's joke.
What are the chances that you get someone at random and they tell you about an April Fool's joke and it's with two people who own a place that's big enough and a horse? What are the chances?
And he said, I'm sure that had a horrible reaction from the person who thought they'd lost their horse. Still trying to nail this guy like it was journalism. And the bloke went, no.
I mean, I'm sure that had a horrible reaction from the person who thought they'd lost their horse.
No.
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 And I was like, what is this? What is happening?
That could have cost the glue factory the equivalent of £1.30. Very irresponsible.
Matt wasn't happy at all, was he, with that?
There will be a Country File special on what to do if your horse is abducted as part of a prank.
The craze of horse hiding. It's a real serious problem.
What was gorgeous about it was it kept coming back to reference because Paddy McGuinness, you know, was calling it back all the time throughout the whole programme. Later on, Giles Brandreth turned up. He started doing it as well. It was a marvellous runner for the whole show.
And they didn't always work. I mean, of all the things to try and use as your running callback, track. The thing that wasn't funny at the start is, and I loved it because it becomes a metaphor for itself, that they were literally flogging a dead horse. It's like, this has become art.
Paddy McGuinness was good though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I didn't think I liked Paddy McGuinness. I don't really watch anything with Paddy McGuinness on it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't aware of Paddy.
I have briefly worked with Paddy McGuinness. And I am
always... Is he as nice as he seemed?
I'm always disappointed when people go, I can't stand Paddy McGuinness, because he is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. That came across. Delightful.
Yeah.
There are some people in television, it's really odd, where people just automatically go, oh, they're horrible. They're horrible. And especially us London media types, we sort of go, we don't understand the appeal of Paddy McGuinness. You meet him, you go, oh, he's lovely. And every time you see him on TV, I'll tell you who else it's like, Rylan.
Oh, yeah, I don't like Rylan.
You see,
Rylan,
you've never met Rylan.
I don't like Rylan.
Rylan
can't
is
bear Rylan.
Brilliant. He's such a nice guy. You'd meet him and you'd be like, oh, he's great. Yeah, and it's the same with Paddy McGuinness.
Whenever David Walliams, though, cunt. and I have met him several times. Cunt every time.
He
doesn't write his own.
There's an underlying thing to that whereby I don't think you actually do like him.
But the McGuinness thing, he totally won me. I was like, he's brilliant. He was so natural, so good. He even took over, really, didn't he? He took over the presenting for a while and was much better.
Who rides a horse? First, I thought he said, I hit a horse. I was like, I'm not really a prank, that, to be honest.
I'm still confused about what happened there, but go on. What's yours?
What did you do, Jess? What do you do? Just think, I know what I'll do. I'll ride an horse. what was the thinking? It's a Shetland pony. That's all right then. That were worth going over with Mike Matt.
Yeah, it was.
Keep it live. We're on the one.
That's killed 40 seconds.
He might well be drafted in the future to do it.
Would have been a Jason Manford replacement, but you know, if it weren't for someone got their fingers burnt with that.
We're not having another comedian. Look what happened last
time. He didn't want to burn his fingers.
We tried Hardeep Singh Kohli once, didn't we?
That was a long 2 hours trying to get the door open.
McGuinness was good, but what he did was play the show very well because, you know, he knows how it works. He knows what it does. He knows the time it's on. And there was a very wonderful fine line of him saying stuff that he shouldn't have said to make Alex and Matt panic slightly.
Yeah.
So we did the shit. We did all this horse play. then we got
the best noise ever. Yeah,
just in case. Then we went, McGuinness had to tell an April Fool's joke anecdote, April Fool's special. Mm. And he said, well, I haven't really got one. My dad, and he goes, okay, where's this guy? He said, what he used to do, he used to, in a toilet, was it? School toilets, that's right. And he used to unscrew the light fitting to get the bulb out, he said. And then what he would do, he would put some of his own poo on a pin. And
which is, it's difficult to poo on a pin. I don't know if you've ever tried. Accuracy.
So that the feces would enter the unwitting person's bloodstream.
Better than that.
And they'd get septicemia and die.
That's the punchline.
April Fool!
When he was a kid, toilets, he would tell me, there used to be a latch you pushed down like that, right? So what him and his mates would do, they'd go in and unscrew the light bulb, right? No lighty. And then put a little pin.
Yeah.
And they'd put a bit of poo on the pin. So you're in the dark, you go to do the thing, and then you go, yeah, I know. This is why I've turned out as I am. The only person who likes that is the horse-sider over there. He's gone brilliant. Brilliant.
Well,
I love that.
I never.
And they were looking at him in sort of horror.
Yeah.
And it's like, this wasn't an anecdote, he told the researcher. Yeah, but the funny thing was, then they just hurt their finger and then put it in their mouth, going, ow.
Oh, and then,
so they've got shit in their mouth and in their bloodstream.
And then
brilliant.
Then they get lockjaw and die.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might know my dad. He's Fred West.
And I was just thinking, this episode is magnificent. Because Alex literally turned away from him as though she was going to vomit over the back of her seat.
Alex does strike me as someone, if you said to her, Alex, imagine a poo. She got, oh, no, don't. No, don't. Oh, I'm gonna hurl. And Alex, imagine a poo. Please don't. You see, meet people like that, very squeamish. And what's really odd is you can just skirt over it if you're not squeamish. You sort of go, oh, that sounds a bit, okay, so let's carry on. But if you're going, oh, please don't. Oh, please. You're drawing more attention to the anecdote you want to dampen down.
So we'd had a horse hiding incident, a woman who got molested by Alex Jones, shit that kills people. And then all of this laughter and stuff and atmosphere, and Paddy McGuinness was giving it, Paddy McGuinness. And then Alex just turned to the camera and said, and now a film about children in the care system.
Oh, wonderful.
Anyway, now you may remember a few months ago, our reporter Ashley John Baptiste came in to tell us all about his experience as a child growing up in care.
Well, tonight, Ashley is looking at a project which is rewinding the clock back 150 years to discover what happened to some of the very first children in the care system.
I was watching that thinking, this, it's a classic gear change. I'm in already. You know what I mean? Thank you for inviting me to this world.
Great turn of the week.
But what could you have written? Kind of, well, speaking of being forced to eat shit when you're a school child, there was no other segue, so fair play. You've got to just jump in.
It's a film. I'm not doing a segue, no.
Great Big Owl.
What?
Great Big Owl.
Stop saying that. What about Great Big Owl?
It's a family of podcasts.
Ooh. Who's in this family?
Well, there's Rule of Three, that's us.
There's Brian and Roger.
Hi, Roger, it's Brian.
There's the One Show Show.
There's nowhere else you would find a 4 or 5 minute film about pine martins.
Yes.
Without a sight of one pine martin at all in the film.
There's Barry and Angelos.
Oh, Gooch, Gooch, Chooch. Yeah. Remember that lovely one?
And there's Smirsh Pod.
Could you eat first? I think we know.
Well, I know, I don't know if I want to eat Lazenby.
Basically, look for Great Big Owl on your pod, what's it?
Good idea. Have we got a sting?
Owls don't sting.
GreatBigOwl.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I saw Tuesday as well, but did anything come close to that for Tuesday, do you think?
Yes, they did. There came the most one-show segment of all time, which is when they sent former Olympian Ewan Thomas to Reading to get non-professionals to try and do Have I Got News For You in front of the unimpressed long-term presenters.
After 57 series, Have I Got News For You truly has become a British institution. But how good are we at playing it? I've come to Reading to put people to the test.
I mean, you never thought, oh, the random people on the street in Reading are going to be fucking hilarious. You've never thought that. You didn't think they were going to be this bad. And they basically sort of played a rough game, which has never been done before. It's not like a parlour game where people sit down at Christmas and go, should we have a game of Have I Got News For You? Yeah. It doesn't happen. And they sprung it on these people who are just walking around Reading on a rainy day. And they bring the sort of headline rounds and things. And the three things that I remember them saying is, quite a few of them, when there was a blank, would just go, Brexit! Because that seemed like the sort of thing Have I Got News For You did.
And you also have to bear in mind, by the way, sorry to interrupt, but you have to bear in mind that what made it to air was the best of what they must have spent a day doing.
The old man who said he'd watched it from the start and he loved it because it was so funny, his contribution to the blank game was the word farts.
I think the missing word could be here. Sight of something gives you loads of beans.
Farts.
sight of farts give you loads of beans?
And then...
That was one of the funniest ones. It was farts.
But the line he put it in, the missing words round, which is what they were trying to emulate, was sight of what gives you load of beans?
Farts. Brexit. Immediate into it. Well, let's do.
There's a thing in there of, if you can see the fart, it's not a fart.
The best bit. What it is something Paddy McGuinness's dad has wiped on a light switch.
The caption round, they'd introduced this builder and he was quite chirpy and fun and he seemed great and they didn't use him until they got to the caption round. And there was a picture of Prince Charles standing there and his caption for that was,
oh, might have pooed myself.
Oop, might have pooed myself. Like a child would say. Now, I've watched 5 News to You a lot recently, you know, and it's on and you sort of go, oh, it's not as funny as it used to be, is it? And afterwards I was like, it is still leagues ahead of anything the people of Reading can do. Long may it run.
I did have a spit my own drink out moment. I had a spit take moment when there was the woman in the same quote, so the missing sight of something gives you beans.
Yeah.
And I thought she said titties. It's not bad. It's quite funny, this one. What? And then they're repeating it. She said chilies. Oh, what a letdown after the titties.
It barely makes sense. You know, I just, some people struggle at doing, like, have I got news for you? A normal person is not... There is a slight thing there where you wouldn't go, Olivia Colman's won an Oscar, so we've gone to see if the people of Reading can devise their own Oscar-winning screenplay. But because it's comedy, they're like, oh, anyone can do that. Stupid comedy, isn't it? So let's go and meet some stupid people in a stupid town and see if they can be as funny as the people paid all that money.
Who are sitting on a sofa having to watch this.
Absolutely.
It is on Paul Mertmeron, we should point out.
Imagine that you have Constable and Turner sitting on the one show and you go to the people of Reading and you go, you could probably do it as well as them, and they go, yes I can, and they spray a cock and balls on a wall, and then you come back and you go, oh, good try by them, wasn't it? Good try. I thought it was both disrespectful, unfunny,
totally disrespectful,
and brilliant. I loved it.
One guy again in the missing words round, I thought, oh, all right, that's pretty good, because you know, as you said, it's not easy, is it, doing the Vigrant News for You, even for the guests who are usually, you know, comedians or people in the public eye. Anyway.
Yeah.
And I've been, years ago, it was in the writer's room of Have I Got News for You, and you are there to feed stuff to guests who want the material.
Yeah.
Right? That's your job. That's what you do. And they cherry pick. That's the thing. But one guy, I thought were good. The missing word round was, blank fears leave daffodils in the ground. Now, obviously, the bloke went, Brexit! And that was the right answer.
Yes, it was.
Brexit fears leave daffodils in the ground.
That is a correct answer.
Oh, yeah. Right. But the guy before him went, tears for?
Yes.
And I thought, that's a good gag. Tears for fears leave daffodils in the ground is fine.
Yeah, he would have got a laugh for that in the room. They'd have put it out and they'd have had a joke about it being bad, but they wouldn't have gone, and what was the best joke on that show? It was when the man said tears for before fears. It was so... I mean, again, we've talked about this before, but sometimes you see these things. You must come back and you must go, do you know what, guys? Great, great job. It didn't really work.
Yeah.
It didn't really get across what we wanted to get across, which was that comedians are off shit. I thought it was weirdly... I was hypnotic. Magic.
Does it make you think less of comedians or less of Reading? It feels harsh that they just made them carry the weight on that one.
Yeah, why Reading? What's the least funny town in Britain we could go to with this? There'd been some poo talk on the day before.
Yeah.
Then there was the guy, Prince Charles, looks like he's pooed himself. And then the same guy, because that's the type of bloke he was, which I admired for leaving in the edit, they said, you know, what's the these pictures got in common, you know, that rounded
Am I going to odd one out.
Odd one, that's it. Odd one, yeah, that's right. It's got a clever name.
the pictures that literally everyone uses, not just in the context of this
apart
game.
From me. but the guy said, oh, he might be the one, actually. He looks like he's been kicked in the nuts.
Yeah.
I thought that was it's not swearing, but it's a bold one show line.
Brexit.
You think Brexit's the odd one out? Can I ask why?
Because they're all actually doing something. He's getting kicked in the nuts. So he's clapping and he's lifting
the same show, interestingly, they had a bit of censorship, which was there was an end song by it's called Off with your head, I think it is, and it's You Are instead of Your, which is a Henry VIII musical, modernised, which means everyone's dressed like extras from Starlight Express.
Yeah, written by students.
Really? Do you know what? I know three people who have seen it, and they say it's absolutely brilliant. Really? It's surprisingly good. And when it came out, it looked like shit. And I was really like, what on earth is happening here? And then it starts, and I began going, this is pretty good. This is all right. It's quite good. But they had a couple of bits, a couple of lines that they dropped out. One was the word threesome.
Yes.
They dropped out. And the other was...
Bang her.
Her or me, chum, don't want to be some girl in the... Are you blind? Ooh, don't be bitter. Because I'm fitter. Ooh, why hasn't it hit her? Somebody hang you. He doesn't want to...
They dropped those two out. So it's odd that they're going, have a whole VT where men just go... As the heir to the throne pooed himself. And then they go, but please don't say this in the context of art.
Yeah, you know? I didn't know what to make of that. I didn't like the two students who wrote it.
I didn't see them on the sofa.
It was a great intro where she explains it is a pop group, an all-girl group made up of the former wives of Henry VIII. And Matt says... Is it based entirely on historical facts?
And actually, how much of it is rooted in the history books then, and how much have you kind of, you know, taken a bit of a poetic license?
I mean, I'm not an expert. Well, when we had to pick between history and geography at school, I did geography, so I'm your worst person here, but they weren't a girl group. Some of them were dead, which even with miming would make it tricky to be a serviceable girl group. And then the guy says, no, it's all based on facts. I read a book.
I did read one book.
Yes, well, he did.
There we go.
Yes, he did. Man. But they were very studenty. Yeah. And it's brilliant. It's like one Olivier Award. In fact, Alex said, well, it's one Olivier Awards. And then without missing a beat, because someone in her ear had corrected her, she said, it's one Olivier Award. I've just been told to hear it's five.
Five
Olivier Awards.
Look at that.
So it's done really well. So the people, you know, have seen it. So it's really good. From it, as I saw it, I was like, that is awful. Because it was like a subpar Horrible History song.
Yes.
To me.
Yeah.
Well, Richie Webb off of Horrible Histories could have written better than that. And it was just sort of forced and full of youth speak that was fashionable. You know, everything was LOL or sorry, not sorry.
I think it's very much.
Am I just too old?
No, I think it very much appeals to people until they're 15. And then it misses out a lot of years. And until you're like 48, I don't think it picks up again. I think there is definitely a big gap. Period. In between, which is you do look at it and just go, not for me.
LOL, say oh well, or go to hell. I'm sorry, not sorry about what I said. Don't lose your head.
But I thought it was actually all of it looked like it was going to be a stinker. Mm. The costumes, the relative ages of the actresses, the student bit, which I've somehow managed to totally black out of my mind.
The hooped earrings!
But it came together
the
well.
Hooped earrings! How did you not just
I didn't
zoom
see
in?
This either?
God, right, so the two students had written it, right, who were called... Toby Marlowe and Lucy Moss.
They could not sound more like two students who have written a musical.
Toby, right, was, he was a student, and he's got no socks on for a start, with his loafers. Well, annoying.
You're really going for a certain demographic who's going to get on with this vibe.
They have got so much debt these days. Socks is something they will not be able to afford.
But he had... Right, and last time the one show mesmerised me with earrings was on a film we talked about a while back.
That's right.
Which was the son of Patricia Hayes.
Who a very noticeable earring.
He did an entire film about his mother's back catalogue of work that he'd hoarded that he was going to give to the V&A, but I couldn't concentrate because he was wearing a particular earring. This guy had two big hooped... Like right. Pat Butcher, hooped earrings. Like, you couldn't concentrate. I was like, why are you wearing those? Like my dad would.
I feel like I've just witnessed, like, you've just aged in that moment.
And that earrings! What's he doing? I mean, I speak as someone who used to have one, Mark, as you know.
Yes, you did.
Of a flying V guitar.
You did with your long poodle perm.
That's right.
That your dad would have looked at if you'd have appeared on the one show and gone, poodle perm! become?
Earrings? I have become him. That's what's happened.
What was the bigger issue, the hooped earrings or the socks? The lack of socks?
It was a mixture of both. And it was just their sort of attitude.
It's like in Batman.
They wrote a musical. They worked hard. He read a book. And yet you're upset about the earrings.
In the 1989 film Batman, the Joker decides to make a toxic thing using normal things. So if you mix the wrong shampoo with the wrong soap, it becomes a poison and kills you. And weirdly, hoop earrings on their own are fine. No socks on its own is fine. But together, for you, it's something toxic and awful.
And I wish I was dead. Oh, Tuesday also had... the whole thing was Have I Got News For You, wasn't it? They were on for... The whole they show, and they kept coming back.
There was something great, which is that Paul Merton and Ian Hislop said that this was the first time they'd ever appeared on a show together.
Yeah.
And they don't seem the closest of friends.
I don't think they are they? I think that's...
Merton looked like a giant. Yeah. Ian Hislop looked like a child who was accompanying him.
And I feel really harsh. I know you shouldn't body shame. I'm aware of this. I know what year it is. But Ian Hislop's neck is now bigger than the rest of him. He's like a frog halfway through the noise. It is huge. It's like, you know that How to Get Ahead in Advertising? Yes. It's just coming out the front.
See, all I did was slag off a man's earrings. You are having to go to something you can't help. Yeah. You're worse than I am, Steve.
How can you not? I think he can help it. I think what he does... And I've never met him, I don't know, but he seems on the show like he very much pulls the neck in to make a comedy point, like that. And by doing it, pushing it in, he's forcing the neck out, whereas what he needs to do is stick his neck out more in almost like an East End kind of... Actually, he needs to do the full Brucey. Brucey got a lot of mentions.
Didn't he? Without any sort of particular point to it. It seemed like Alex had liked Bruce Forsyth, and so they'd asked for those clips to be put in. It was they did mention that Bruce Forsyth, they've taken a brick out of the London Palladium and they've stuck his ashes in there.
This is what I learned this week. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's sweet. I rather like that.
I do.
And not many people know that his ashes are actually under the Palladium. They took a brick out and put
it. Oh, really? Yeah.
It does sound a bit like maybe the Palladium management don't know. They're taking a brick out of the wall and putting that. That's not what you do. You'd go, we put him under the stage and a little bit the people. Yeah. They took a brick out.
Apparently so.
Mad.
Yeah.
Mad. But the thing is, the problem is they had those two guests who didn't really have anything to say about Bruce Forsyth. They were like, oh, yeah, we worked with him once.
Yeah.
What a legend he was. And Ian Hislop sort of went, well, not for me.
Yeah, yeah. The look on his face. They showed a clip of Brucey singing on the Have I Got News For You episode he was on, which Paul Merton was loving, but Ian Hislop just looked absolutely appalled by the whole thing.
The look on his face or the look on his neck? It's difficult to know where you're aiming.
Look, I dropped the earring thing, you drop the neck. Okay.
I was watching it and I started to get upset on behalf of Angus Deaton.
Yes. Well, yeah.
They
always make... I mean, these days, if you did that much coke, these days, you'd be on celebrity rehab. It would really help your career. And yet, they are whitewashing him out of the Have I Got News For
Your
History.
Well, again, you see, it's the big... They talked about guests. They've been guest hosts. But again, being the One Show, we've talked about this before, they never ask... The elephant is always in the room with the One Show with certain guests, and the elephant is never prodded at all.
No.
Or even... So they didn't even mention Angus. You're right. And they famously didn't get on with Angus.
Yes.
At all.
Yeah.
And I think I'm right in saying... I don't think either of them would disagree, were quite instrumental in oisting him off the show at the time because they knew he was getting paid more than they were.
They sold him the coke. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that. That's what you said.
I'm so glad you added the words, is that what you're saying? Because now that doesn't have to be edited over the moon. They were saying they've appeared, I think, 500 times. They've done 500 shows.
Yeah.
57th series. Which is a sort of strange BBC thing where you just can't work out how many are in a series. But Matt built up, he did two things wrong here. The first thing is he introduced it by saying...
Now, tonight's guests have appeared opposite each other on the same panel show for nearly 500 times.
They've appeared opposite each other for nearly 500 times, which is a mix of times and episodes. And he ended it by he turned to Paul Merton. And he just said, I mean, it's just a happy way of getting your news, isn't it?
Do you know, I actually think it's just a happy way of getting your news, actually, of our Got News.
And it's sort of really, it's not just, people aren't singing the headlines. It's biting satire.
That brings us to the close of part one of this week's The One Show Show. Part two, as ever, will be wherever you get your podcasts tomorrow. And we'll pick up almost exactly where this one left off, which will be mildly confusing for about a minute. If you like this podcast even slightly and are only listening to it because you're up to date with that crime one you prefer, do please pass us to quite literally everyone you're in contact with, much like you would with a disease. See you tomorrow.
You heard of Great Big Owl?
Yes, they make this podcast.
Yeah, but not just this podcast.
You're shitting me. Name some others.
Well, there's Trolled.
We had Luciana Berger and Gary Lineker coming on.
Oh, yeah, and there's Crime Club.
Did you get done for that?
Yeah.
There's The Fear.
It's a kid's show. They really, really scared me.
There's Always There.
Thanks very much, because I would never have gone down Howard's way had you not asked me.
There's Friends with Friends.
Shoving a funnel in Joey's mouth and Rachel pours fat down.
And there's Ask the Nincompoops.
Kids ask us the questions they want answered.
That's for kids. We shouldn't have sworn earlier.
Bollocks.
Quick, play the sting.
Great Big Owl.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.